Well, happy Easter. Happy resurrection morning. You know, the Lord does everything on time. Jesus came on time. He lived on time. And he died on time.
Come on now.
Every precise.
Jesus.
We'll begin with prayer in the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being in our midst. Bless us this resurrection day to do all that's in your heart. Bless everyone who ministers today. Bless and be with them that they may speak your words according to your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God is moving. You know, he took the world by surprise. And he, all along, he told them he was coming.
Amen.
And he told them he was going to die.
Yes.
They just never connected with it. They never caught on to it.
Yeah. He kept telling them over and over. I didn't get it.
They didn't want to get it. They wanted to go.
He even told the enemy what he was going to do. They didn't. They still didn't catch it. And he did it. But let's see. Last week we made it to verse 22. We're back up to 21. Verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Judas was crucified was near to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. He meant for everybody to see this. This was a statement. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. The whole thing was one weave, no seams in it. Very expensive, very hard to do. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. Mm-hmm. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, when he did this, everything in the scriptures was fulfilled concerning Christ. Now, that stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord thinks of everything.
Amen.
Yes.
A lot.
It's a sermon lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. He thinks of everything.
Yes.
And sometimes when I'm in communion with the Lord, I ask him questions and ask him what's my best solution, things like that. His answer is always complete. He thinks of things I wouldn't have thought of. And that's why years ago I said that he won't just answer your prayer, he'll honor your prayer. If you ask him for a car, he won't just give you a car. He'll situate you so that you can buy gas and insurance and fix it and maintain it. Then bless you with the car. If you wait on him. If you ask the Lord something, you have a covenant right. And he's going to honor that covenant. He's going to bless you. And if you ask for something that's really not or out of time or something that that it may not be at the right time, he'll give it to you. But first, he'll let you know the situation, And I worked at a Chevrolet dealership, and I desired a Monte Carlo SS. And I had a good car. I had built the engine in it, and I had other goals. And one day, I went up there on lunch and made some adjustments to the car, and it ran a lot better. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, if I bless you with the car now, it'll hinder your other goals. He could have done it, but he pointed out the facts. He thinks of everything, and I said, "You're right, Lord. I'll wait." So you know, if you bull through something, if you ask him and say, "No, I want to do it now," he'll bless you. Yeah, but it'll be like you said. But if you can hear him, he's gonna guide you. You know, that was, in other words, the car would have become a snare to what I was doing. So he showed me that at the right time. But he thinks of everything. And he thought John's going to take care of Mary. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Everything in perfect order. Not one scripture did he not fulfill that was prophesied about him. Perry Stone did a good job of pointing out all the scriptures pertaining to Jesus and how he fulfilled them, from the places that he lived, he came out of Egypt, everything according to the prophets, and he fulfilled it. And everything, he said, it is finished. And this changed everything. All of our faith is hinged on what he did here. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thereout blood and water. You know, even the scripture where it said none of his bones was broken, that was fulfilled as well. And he saw that he saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith, is that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. These are also signs. It lets the people know this is he. Everything was prophesied. And again, another scripture said, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of the Jews, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the scripture was near at hand. And verse chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she turned and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Now we know that's John. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him. He had a pretty good stretch to do that. He was ahead of Peter. Then comes Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin was about his head, not lying with linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And the disciple went away again unto their own home. I love this resurrection. Jesus got up. he raised from the dead. I'll read this part. We got to close. Verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had turned, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And we'll pick up there next week in verse 19. He got up, and he didn't make Mary aware of who he was. And how he did that, I don't know, but he can do anything.
It could just be the natural. She was weeping. She was upset. She wasn't expecting to see him. She glanced and paid attention to him. Mm-hmm. Back. Yeah. And then when she recognized his voice.
Mm-hmm. That's very important. Man. Don't miss that.
That's right.
She recognized his voice.
That's right.
Let's leave that alone, because y'all get into it. We're going to get into it.
Yeah.
Later.
That's a good one there.
Amen.
You know,
when we get to fresh
dog,
we'll get into it.
This is good. It's just rich. It's He did everything according to scripture.
Amen.
According to the Father's
Amen.
Will.
Amen.
All right. And 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he break it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Amen.
After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, for a long time, people thought that he died on a Friday night because the Sabbath was the next day. But if you count 3 days and 3 nights, he would have died on a Wednesday night, because Passover was coming up. And if you count 3 days and three nights, you'll end up Sunday morning. And Frank Matchin was the first one to point it. I thought it was Friday night for a long time. He did on the radio. He talked about it was a Wednesday. So that resurrection morning, they were used to him being in the grave. And they had already prepared his garments and rolled a stone, you know, to the sepulcher. And then that resurrection morning, they went to check on them. They went to the grave, and the stone was rolled away. And he wasn't there. And I thank God for it.
How does this gentleman explain the fact that they wanted him dead because the next day was the Sabbath?
It was Passover. It's the same. It was Passover would begin that, I believe, that Thursday.
Did you still have that tradition you go with? I think
it was you. And it had the same rules as the Sabbath. I got to study it all again, but when you count backwards from Sunday morning, you'll end up on Wednesday. And then he came, if a day is 1,000 years to the Lord, he came on a Wednesday. That, you know, he would have come, it would have been like a Wednesday when he died. And then you had Thursday, Friday, and now it's time for him to return. Brother Charles. All right, we'll close out. Good Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this resurrection morning. I thank you for every one of your people. Bless us to follow you and do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.